You're listening to The Move with Jared Dattis and Michael Ray, conversations exploring why healthcare real estate is moving from alternative to essential, and how smart capital is making the shift to one of the most overlooked asset classes today.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, JD. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing swell.
I love it.
Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, my friend. So I think we're on another episode here talking about healthcare real estate.
We are.
It's different.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do a deep dive with you today on an investor's perspective, really as it relates to how's healthcare real estate different and unique. Maybe there's areas that it's more resilient than some other asset classes. And I think you just bring such a great background in so many different asset classes, more than I have, when you start to think about whether it be multifamily or hospitality or big mixed use and land and retail, and now you're deep into healthcare. So you have a really interesting perspective on this from an investor point of view. And you're speaking to investors every day. And I think this would be helpful for our investor listeners that are trying to make an assessment. Where do I deploy capital?
Right.
Why healthcare? Why now? What happens in a growth market? What happens in a down market? We can talk about some of our experiences that we've all gone through, both the good and the bad, whether it goes back to the 2000s and through the GFC, through COVID, and now today, including the past couple of years where capital's been a bit constrained. So let's talk about a little bit about your experience and what you see, especially in like today's market, and maybe also look at it in comparison to some of those times that we've gone through, these cycles we've gone through. Maybe it's a low interest rate environment, development is booming, mm-hmm. investors are deploying capital. There's so many choices, deal books coming across desks, trying to figure out where should I invest. What's your experience been in those type of environments when you have a low interest rate environment?
Yeah, I mean, I think fundamentally it starts with the fact that, you know, in a low interest rate environment, capital is plentiful. And it can be hyper competitive in terms of how that water flows, mm-hmm. if you will. And, you know, without, you know, overgeneralizing, fundamentally, capital, institutional capital in particular, operates with a very large sort of herd mentality. It tends to sort of, you know, gravitate towards the same places, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's FOMO or there's something real,
yeah.
really there, that tends to sort of drive it, in the context of, you know, anything that I would characterize as a trend.
Yeah.
So when there are massive amounts of capital available at an extremely low price, at the risk of potentially offending, it can very easily devolve into a race to the bottom, mm-hmm. a lowest common denominator thing. And it kind of goes back to where we, you know, started when we began this conversation, which is, you know, healthcare and the fundamentals that inform it have always been there, mm-hmm. but they may not necessarily have been as obvious, mm-hmm. because there's this misconception about its complexities, the sort of psychological hangups in and around it, just make an investor look at it and say, like, that's just going to be hard.
Right.
Right. I'm not suggesting it's intellectual laziness so much as, again, when capital is aplenty, mm-hmm. opportunities are aplenty, and in a hyper competitive environment, it will tend to gravitate towards the path of least resistance.
Okay. So that makes sense to me. How do you think about that then in the context where we have an environment where it's a high interest rate environment?
Exactly. And I think I'm going to put myself in that camp.
Right.
Because, you know, this most recent sort of bit and whatever we end up calling it, right? I don't think we've landed on that just yet. But, you know, in the last 22, 24 months, you know, it started with interest rate increases. Then you had issues with the denominator effect and sort of portfolio imbalance, which is now kind of, you know, transitioned into and being exacerbated by a wider sort of geopolitical instability and unrest,
yeah.
that sort of, you know, puts a lot of people kind of on the sideline. But because of the past, you know, 10, 15 years and the availability of that capital, massive amounts of capital have been raised and need to be allocated. There is an absolute mandate that that capital be invested in sort of find a home and earned its requisite level of returns. That has brought healthcare to the forefront, frankly. And I think it's given us a great opportunity, which is what we're speaking to, about looking through and seeing the base fundamentals of the asset class and why it has been cycle resilient. Because it's only in those moments of stress and despair that you look back and realize, like, you know, this ain't the first rodeo.
Right. So investors see the world that way. They respond to these macro events like you just described, and we see it every day.
Right.
You know, this summer we were at a conference here in Denver for BOEM, and it was the medical outpatient conference.
Right.
And I was on a panel, and I was, this topic came up about geopolitical and interest rates, and is that slowing down development and investment opportunities? And what I recall was a lot of the healthcare drivers, users, healthcare systems, hospitals, I don't want to say they weren't impacted, but it's not changing their desire and need to have buildings in place to take care of patients.
No.
And I don't think investors see that often, which is we have some massive geopolitical stress going on, real risk, but the business of healthcare is not slowing down. The need continues. Back to what we've been talking about, the demographic aging continues, the needs continue. And so people are concerned, of course, but they're still moving forward with projects.
They're
and
still,
that provides investment
opportunities. Absolutely, and they're doing so at an accelerated rate. But I think it also speaks to one of the characteristics of, you know, the go-go times, because it's not just that capital is available and cost efficient, right? I'll stop short of saying cheap.
I'd rather be in a recession than a go-go time. I'm going to talk to you about
that. In the healthcare space, you're absolutely right.
Right.
And I wouldn't have made that comment sort of 10 years ago, because you know, you get caught up in the wave, if you will. And you again, you sort of, it's not that you do something for the sake of ease so much as you look at it and say, it's just not necessarily difficult.
Right.
And so you don't have to do something that's difficult or complex, then you know, obviously the choice is easy. But to your point, it's not slowing down into the healthcare. One, base fundamental, that it's just, it's needs-based.
Right.
And those needs, not only are those needs not changing, they're actually accelerating and they're getting exacerbated by a lot of these macro trends. But I think it speaks to the accessibility.
Do you think this is just unique though to medical, or do you think this applies throughout the ecosystem of healthcare as we think about it? So medical, seniors, and science and tech.
I think it's the ecosystem, you know, driven a lot. I mean, in our last conversation, we addressed the extreme supply gap in senior living. Mm-hmm. That is the outcome of a multitude of factors that influence that. You know, you just spoke to the aspect in the context of medical, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you have the aging demographic coupled with the exponential increase in spending on healthcare,
right.
The fact that technological advances are, you know, stressing the need for these systems to create new physical environments in which to deliver that service. But it extends to the science and tech piece as well. Again, because it is derivative of the academic medical space and the university research space, most of which, if not all of which, is somewhat dependent on government grants and things like that. Again, it speaks back to that geopolitical uncertainty,
right.
A lot of the macroeconomic factors that are influencing those outcomes, but the work cannot stop.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? We have to look at alternatives. Water finds its way. And right now we sit in a prime optimal position to realize on that.
Right. I'm going to stick by our comments earlier, though. Healthcare is not an alternative, but you do need to find alternatives nowadays. And so when we think about this, and I'm curious, it's when we think about our own portfolio, as we start to design the portfolio and the investment strategy that can go in positive returns when markets are good, still be resilient to flat or down markets. I think we think about it like a lot of investors in somewhat of a barbell strategy, where when we look at the medical piece and the opportunities that present itself, those assets have a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. We have hospital healthcare system sponsors. Those leases can be long-term leases, 10 to 15 years, healthy annual bumps to keep up with inflation. And so they're strong assets. So when we think about those are great investment opportunities that we can project returns on a pretty reliable basis.
A very reliable basis.
So that takes care of one side of the barbell.
So juxtapose that real quick then. So let's juxtapose that with, I don't know, let's play the multifamily game.
Okay.
First of all, it's going to be market dependent, right? So, you know, think about, you know, all the graphs and sort of data that you see about, you know, who's the next Austin? What was the Austin before Austin?
That's a great point.
Right? It was Denver.
Yeah.
But Denver's still kind of hanging around the hoop. Right. Austin's hanging around the hoop. Nashville's having its moment. You know, you talk about the Smile States and things like that. But those markets are susceptible to migratory trends, the same geopolitical aspects and things like that. It's not needs-based. That trend is informed by the ultimate choice of that consumer. Mm-hmm. In the healthcare context, that consumer has no choice.
Right.
It needs it.
I want to address that. So that is spot on, because when we think about it, we're operating in 30 states right now. Everywhere in the United States has a healthcare need.
Right.
Some of our best performing assets have been in markets that wouldn't be on the NFL city list, but they still have a defined need. And those defined needs, we developed very comprehensive medical assets or special physician assets that are special purpose in the sense of like an orthopedic center of excellence in markets that would be considered smaller markets. But those markets have performed really well. Those assets have performed very well. And it hasn't been what's the next big hot city, because it's a different driver.
It is a different driver, but it's also a different tenant makeup. Mm-hmm. To your point, you know, gospel in real estate is credit and the ability. Can you?
That was location, location, location.
Yeah, but you can be in the right location, but if you don't have a tenant that can't pay rent, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Turns out you got a new location to
figure
out.
That's exactly right.
Right. So when you then sort of, you know, let's further peel the layers of that particular onion. Right. So let's say that we do. In both instances, we land on the right market.
Right.
Right. So who's my tenant? Young, professional, you know, employed, that sort of thing.
Right.
What's the tenor of my lease?
Mm-hmm.
Month to month?
Mm-hmm.
Annual?
Yeah.
Two, maybe? Mm-hmm. What kind of concessions am I having to give in order to get that sort of stickiness of tenancy?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's the medical profile?
Right. It's funny. The medical profile is such that I don't see a lot of those concessions because, again, it's need. There is a defined healthcare business need that happens. I mean, when I think back to whether it be the dot-com crisis, 9/11, you know, GFC, and you look at office assets as an example, you can see tenants evaporate like that.
Yes.
Sometimes shorter-term leases, tenants evaporate like that. Or look into the COVID era and what happened to a lot of the core assets during that period of time. When we think about the resilience of our real estate from a healthcare perspective, I can't think of in our portfolio, and we have a decent sized portfolio, where we had defaults. We had some tenants that were a little more retail in nature say, can you help us for a short period of time here, just given what's going on? But we're talking single digit type of tenancy within that portfolio of a fairly large AUM that we're responsible for right now. That was maybe one of the true tests of how healthcare was performing during one of the most challenging times we've seen in a real estate cycle.
And let's be honest, like that, I mean, healthcare as an asset class should have been absolutely smoked.
Yeah.
In an event like that.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the asset classes as a whole, you know, real estate as a, you know, taken together was bound to suffer.
Yeah.
And it did.
Right.
But not only did healthcare emerge, survive, right? Mm-hmm. Not only was it resilient and survived, but it thrived.
Yeah.
And the opportunities that, you know, are in front of us are really interesting, which again, you know, you have to juxtapose that to another sort of former darling of the ball in the context of hospitality, right? Because think about hospitality at its essence.
Yeah.
The fundamental is you are providing choice, mm-hmm. you know, an opportunity for an end user or a customer to inform that choice about, you know, the experience they want to have, where they want to be and things like that. Right. As we all know, the place to sort of recreate and sort of enjoy your leisure, even business travel,
yeah.
right? The fundamental right. nature of business travel is still susceptible to those swings.
Yeah, what happened during COVID?
It just sort of locked up.
Right.
And then even on a post-COVID basis, it was very slow to rebound. And some might suggest that it still hasn't, or if it has, it's been very specific.
So investors felt pain in some of those sectors during the COVID time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yes. I mean, when you look at the number of hospitalities, one of the data points that we track is the default rate, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In the CMBS market mm-hmm. to just kind of understand, you know, from a macro perspective, where is the stress in the market and mm-hmm. is it specific to any given access?
Yeah.
Office is a layup, right? That's the easy sort of low hanging fruit. But the increased rise in default rates in the multifamily sector and in the hospitality sector,
yeah.
it's not that it's sort of surprising because, like, again, when you look into it, you're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
But you wouldn't necessarily think that.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Especially, you know, as we talked about it, you know, in some ways it feels like we're back in 15 and 16.
Right.
When you hear like, oh, we're, you know, what are you looking at these days? Ooh, you know, like there's multifamily opportunities, but it's diamond hunting.
Yeah. No, I think back to stick on the COVID time for a minute. We were working with a lot of healthcare systems, and one of the toughest times to deploy capital, to develop assets, mm-hmm. there was a consistent theme. First of all, our healthcare clients and providers, they were doing the real work. Right.
Yeah.
Trying to take care of humans and deal with something that was unknown and then doing the best they can. We found something that I thought was interesting. The projects that continued were the important outpatient projects. The systems that were working with us, and this is good for developers, good for investors, is the need didn't stop there. So they said, we have our challenges. We have our hands full on our acute care side, taking care of people. And it's very hard right now. And we know we have this need and we can't forget that either. Keep going.
Yeah.
And so that was helpful for us as an investor, helpful for a developer, helpful for our investors, because they could find a home for capital during that period of time where it was, as you said, it's like, it's very hard to find a home. You need to find alternatives. When it's go-go days, there's lots of different choices out there.
And it's interesting. And I smile as you say that, because one of the more impactful revelations for me as mm-hmm. I have sort of, you know, dove head into this space
yeah.
is exactly as you said. And in your words just now were the work was being done by the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Because fundamentally, that's the essence of healthcare real estate.
Right.
And it sounds counterintuitive and against our self-interest. Mm. But in healthcare, it's not about the real estate.
Yeah.
It's about the work
right.
and the underlying service that is being delivered and facilitated by the real estate.
Exactly.
It's the needs-based aspect of it. In other asset classes, as soon as the real estate has exhausted its, I'm not going to say it's exhausted its utility, because land always has utility, but it's vertical use,
yep.
right?
Right.
That's susceptible to the swings and those macro trends. As mm-hmm. soon as the herd has moved on, right? As soon as your hot new thing has become what?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not that way in healthcare.
Right.
It's lasting. I mean, even literally down to the tenor of the lease.
You feel the same way on seniors?
Wow. I do now.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Because I think some of the things that we've talked about, mm-hmm. right? The current state of the extreme lack of supply, mm-hmm. the changing nature of the demographic. Mm-hmm. So not just the fact that there are millions of people that are aging into the space.
Yeah.
But the expectations and the demands of that demographic from an end user experience, mm-hmm. in many ways, that's creating the opportunity. Because I think historically, the way that space has evolved, which is kind of as a tweener, right?
Right.
Is it Is it healthcare?
Is it
multifamily?
Right.
Yeah. Is it residential? And I think it was just sort of like, you know, I don't care. There's a need. Let's pop it down and let's go with it.
Yeah.
Again, not suggesting that, you know, those have done it, including us.
Right.
We're sort of absent-minded about it or sort of indifferent with respect to the physical environment that we were creating and the outcomes that we were generating, so much as we are sitting on the precipice of an opportunity that will change the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I referred to it previously as a paradigmatic shift, and that is exactly what's going on. So that's why I think I would. I answer it the way I do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, formally I would have said, no, I think there's enough characteristics of the herd,
right,
that necessarily would kind of, you know, keep it on the cusp or on the fringe. But I think given the tailwinds,
right,
that are behind us and the fundamentals, because again, fundamentally senior housing is needs-based real estate.
Yeah.
And it's poised to sort of find itself squarely alongside medical.
Well, and Nate Creef returns have shown that.
They have shown that.
Right.
Notwithstanding, I mean, this sort of am I or am I not,
yeah,
sort of status.
And including COVID period.
Most especially during the COVID. Now, occupancy dropped.
Occupancy
absolutely dropped. But it rebounded fairly quickly.
Right.
Again, because the need is there.
Back to or higher than historical levels today?
As we sit here today, most recent data points confirm that we are at the historic, we're in the sort of low 90s, yeah, but I'm not going to suggest that it was sort of, you know, light switch flipping quick or anything like that. It took some time and effort, and there was absolute stress. But again, the performance and the track record sort of illustrates the resiliency from a return perspective.
Yeah. I think the smart investor today, I mean, if you look back at COVID and you look at seniors, it was a tough time, very, very difficult. And occupancies did come down. And I think what people are realizing now, and that was a real test for, I think, that segment of the healthcare sector. I think people look at it now to say, our needs haven't changed. We've seen quality operations, mm-hmm, and operators take care of people in a way that was very difficult to do at home even.
Right.
And that's why this part of the asset class makes a lot of sense. And for the smart investor that can see that and be a little bit, I would say, long in their investment, those investments pay off. And again, back to the barbell strategy, because that return profile in seniors is higher than it is in the, I'll call it, in institutional quality medical investment. But that's the barbell.
Yeah. And it is the barbell. And I think it's important when you're analyzing it in that context that that you have the benefit and perspective of that time continuum.
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't necessarily done the research or anything like that, but I suspect that if you slice and dice that time continuum over 20, there will be instances where multifamily significantly outperforms.
Mm-hmm.
Where office and retail significantly, if I mean, I'm going to say significantly just because it makes this conversation better at the real time. But, you know, there absolutely have been times where it hasn't been that sort of the healthcare space has been a laggard,
mm-hmm,
so much that it has been the tortoise.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you think about smart capital decisions,
mm-hmm,
and prudent investment strategy. Sometimes you do need to take the big swings.
Right.
But singles and doubles and very timely controlled aggression on the base pass,
mm-hmm, yeah,
can lead to victories.
It's like compound returns over time.
Absolutely.
Right? 100%.
Absolutely.
And I think, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this, doesn't science and stuff that we're focused on science from an investor perspective also resemble medical in certain respects because of the credit profile? Now we're starting to see this blend of research with this commercial application. We're seeing some academic institutions that are very science focused, venturing with different healthcare providers. It feels like there is a distinct move into that sector. So again, as an investor, there's opportunity there. to have to invest in high quality assets that also are going to benefit from the strong tailwinds that we've been discussing. Slightly differently, these assets are a little different, but that's where the opportunity is. Again, it's risk adjusted. These are really amazing opportunities. Do you see it the same way?
I do. And I think maybe a key sort of term of art that we can introduce here is segmentation.
Right.
And I'm often very intentional about making the differentiation between, you know, what is commonly understood to be life sciences and what we mean by science and tech.
Right.
Right. So, you know, not the sort of, you know, biomed and Alexandria where, you know, we're fueling and feeding sort of big pharma and things like that. Mm-hmm. It is that more stable, consistent, academic university derivative, in many instances, municipal. I mean, you have more
build to suit.
More build to suit, but from a credit perspective, you have municipalities stepping forward and saying, we want to be a leader in the space, and we're willing to put our space, our land, our credit behind an opportunity to incubate and curate a zone, district, what have you, that then can sort of fuel and drive these opportunities forward. That's very, very different than the sort of like Uber Alpha chasing, you know, spec office in North San Diego.
So Uber Alpha chasing, but still growth.
Is that a word?
I like it. Man, do you hyphenate that?
So are we doing t-shirts?
I think so. That would be an amazing t-shirt. I'd like to still hyphenate that.
I digress.
No, that's okay. But what I'm thinking there is growth and opportunity even in that segment,
right?
Because it, while it may not be Uber Alpha, that's going to be the quote for the day. I do think there's, and we're seeing this, there's scale opportunities because a lot of these institutions are deploying a lot of time and capital to create ventures to come up with these models. And they're just usually that we're seeing right now, not one-offs. That's where the opportunity is.
They're not one-offs. And more importantly, they are entirely consistent with that intersection that we consistently come back to, right? That intersection and interplay between the holy trinity of healthcare real estate with the medical, the seniors, and the science. So if it's that obvious to us, you know, because you've certainly, you know, ask me questions and throughout this thing, but I'm gonna throw it back to you the first time today.
Okay.
So just, you know, given the course of our dialogue and sort of your history, what's your move?
I think my move for the smart investor is to understand the opportunity set in the context of this barbell strategy. When you look at healthcare, there are a lot of segments to play in, to invest in, depending on what your risk profile is. Given the fundamentals that are in place, that's the opportunity. So don't be scared of if it's a medical building or if it's a senior living asset or if it's a build to suit science driven project. There is opportunity there. What's your move?
I think it's somewhat the same. And I would lean towards just because it's stable doesn't mean that it isn't interesting and fun and can deliver sort of what it does. You know, the tortoise wins that race.
Yeah, I love that.
And I think you got to back the tortoise.
Ah, that's a wrap. Good to see you, my friend.
You too, pal.
Thanks for listening to The Move, a show exploring what's shaping the future of healthcare real estate. If you liked what you heard, follow the show and share with someone you know looking to make their next move.